Our sermon text today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, just two verses. It's on page 139 of your pew Bibles. Before we go to the Word, let's be in prayer. Now, Father, we ask thy mercies to be upon us, and we thank you for this Lord's Day that we get to hear from you. And therefore, we ask that your scriptures be preached correctly. Give us the ability to weed out the mere opinion of man, whether it's from our foolish traditions or from the pulpit. Have us hear thy law and have us hear thy gospel. And we pray that they be rightly divided. Father, speak to us and have us hear Christ and him crucified. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. The Apostle Paul writes, "Be on alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." The word of the Lord, written for you. Of late, I've been pondering a lot a very famous text from Scripture, Proverbs 1:7. It reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." I'm more and more surprised that it doesn't say wisdom first. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It doesn't say that. Wisdom comes later. It says something much more base, something much more fundamental, something much more basic. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if you do not fear God, of course you're going to be foolish, of course you're going to be unwise, of course you're going to do stupid things. But also, if you don't fear the Lord, you're really not going to understand even the basic things of life. And you see this, of course, in our secular culture. As we see in the West and in the United States, our culture becoming less and less Christian and more secular, we're doing a lot of really stupid things. And we're really not understanding some really basic things. We're seeing, of course, the destruction of the family, basic sexual morality, and just destruction of even children, which is insane. We think we have a civil right to kill unborn children, and that we have a civil right to sexual perversion. That it's somehow immoral for Christians to adopt children, but those who live in sexual perversion can adopt children. That's insane. We can't even tell the genders apart anymore, who is male and who is female. And it's a lot to be frustrated about. And unfortunately, many institutions have completely surrendered to the secularism. Let me name two. First, as following the scripture commandment about planks in our own eye, let's throw rocks at ourselves, Congregationalism. That's beautiful heritage called Congregationalism is almost dead because we embraced this secularism many, many years ago. But unfortunately, you also see it, and of course, in the Boy Scouts, who for many years fought the good fight, but in the last decade or so have surrendered to this moral relativism, this secularism, which is plaguing our country. And therefore, something like the Scout's Oath, which used to be so beautiful, is now kind of hollow. Let me read you the Scout's Oath. "On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country," notice the order, "and to obey the Scout's law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight." Straight and narrow, to be straight. Of course, as we've lost God, we've lost that moral straightness. And unfortunately now, the Boy Scouts have caved and now encourage and tolerate all sorts of strangeness and perversion. We've seen this happen in our own place. We used to have a Boy Scout troop here for many, many years. And we, quote, didn't kick them out. We did not do that. We went to them, and we said, as a sponsoring organization, we told them, you have to teach the kids basic morality. Do not promote homosexuality. Do not promote transgenderism. They said, we can't do that, because they want to fall after the world. And so they left. I don't know about you, but it's tempting sometimes to get very frustrated about this. And if not bitter. Because we're seeing this beautiful thing called Western civilization commit suicide. And no one seems to be standing up and saying anything. However, to despair like that is not a godly action because it lacks faith. And briefly, just take a look at 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14 to hear what Paul says to this church in Corinth. Now, if you remember, a couple years ago, I preached through 1 Corinthians. And Corinth is a messed up church. It is a persecuted church, but it may be one of the worst churches in the New Testament. Just crazy false teaching and immorality is plaguing inside the church. But when you read through it, Paul is strangely optimistic. Why? He understands the gospel. That Christ has died. That Christ is resurrected. The tomb is empty. The victory has been won. And we have perfect freedom and liberty and hope and faith and love in Christ. And so when he concludes this epistle in chapter 16, he gives some basic advice. Let's just go through those two verses quickly. One, be on alert. We have to think. We have to be aware. We have to be vigilant. Just because an organization may have been good a few years ago, and that includes the church herself, doesn't mean it's being faithful now. And therefore, we always have to be constantly reforming, constantly making sure we are standing upon the cross of Christ and proclaiming His name and the authority of Scripture. And that's the next verse. Notice that. Be on alert. Discern what's going around you. Stand firm in the faith. Our knowledge, our wisdom, our hope is only found in Christ. Because in Christ, we have everything. Outside of Christ, there is only foolishness, darkness, and despair. And we know from the Master's own teaching, there's going to be times of trouble. The rain and the winds will come. But do we stand upon the rock? Is our foundation in Christ? And do we proclaim Him boldly and not shrink back from the threats of the world? And hence that next line, act like men. Be strong. How wonderfully politically incorrect is that statement? I love it. Because we are supposed to man up. We're supposed to put our big boy pants on, to quote some sporting analogies, and act like men. Our world doesn't like the notion that men and women are different. It's a simple fact going back from Genesis 1. It's how the Lord has made us, and that we are different, and those differences are good. That what my little girl scrapes her knee, she goes running to her mother over me, is a good thing. If there's some noise downstairs, guess who gets the baseball bat to go downstairs? Look at the situation. It's, of course, me. Those are good things. Those are attractive things. Those are necessary things. And that's why Christians understand the differences between male and female and also how they're similar. When it comes to salvation, there is no difference. However, we do have different roles. All are called to serve the church, but men are set aside to lead the church and lead the household. And therefore, training up men in a godly way is a good thing. Some might say, the world might say, well, that's toxic masculinity. If it's biblical, it's not. It's just called masculinity. However, notice Paul's next line. When he tells them to act like men and be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. That is both a feminine and a masculine thing. It's a universal thing. And so to the men and to the women and to the children and to everyone, we are called to be strong, but strong in love. First and foremost, we are to love God and obey those first four of the Ten Commandments. To fear the Lord and trust in Him and Him alone. And from that love of God, from that fear of the Lord, will create in us hope, faith, and love. And that will make us not fear the world. And that will allow us to be charitable and kind to all. our neighbor. And our neighbor is everyone. Pagan, atheist, homosexual, transgender, whatever it may be. Whoever it may be. We are called to love our neighbor, but never surrender the faith. So Paul's advice here is a good thing. Of course, it's from sacred scripture. But something we should hear, and something we as Christians should encourage, especially those outside the church who are trying to do things in a godly way. And that's why on this Mission Sunday, we have the Hands of Grace folks coming up to speak about their desire to have a Christian scouting program. And that is a good thing. Amen.